Let's take a very brief look at the history of economic analyses of media. This will help us see where economics of media has come from. Overall, this is a field which is slow to develop in economics, but if you go back a few centuries, you can find some precursors. For instance, the early debates on religious toleration considered the question of whether a competitive supply of ideas was more likely to get to the truth. You'll also find in Adam Smith a good discussion of the established church versus the notion of having a more competitive religious structure. More generally, in the 18th century, you have a lot of authors, people like Samuel Johnson or Jonathan Swift, and they wrote about the commercialization of the printing press and literature at the time, and they offered a lot of economic remarks about how to think of media, especially in the context of publishing books and also newspapers. This reflected the growing commercialization of British society at the time, driven by the early stages of the Industrial Revolution. When we get to the middle of the 20th century, we have a number of writers on media who turn out to be important for both the more general understanding of media, but also media economics. For instance, if we take Harold Innes, he was a Canadian economist. He wrote a lot on the economic history of Canada, but he also had a well-known book called The Bias of Communications, and he talked about how the economic structure of different communications media, such as whether they were monopolistic or competitive, how that would shape the actual content of ideas. Working in related traditions, we have Eric Havelock and also Marshall McLuhan, neither of whom were economists, but nonetheless, they were early thinkers on media economics interpreted more generally. In terms of a more formal economics of media, a major breakthrough figure is Ronald Coase, who later won a Nobel Prize. Working at the University of Chicago in the 1950s, Coase wrote some seminal papers on the economics of radio and the economics of spectrum allocation. In 1960, he published a piece outlining the Coase theorem, and indeed we cover this in one of our videos in our section on How to Think Like an Economist. Coase also wrote a famous paper on the economics of payola, which we cover later in the course on economics of media. With the advent of Coase's work, all of a sudden modern economics is being applied to media with really some striking breakthroughs. There are then two subsequent movements which make the economics of media a much bigger deal. The first is that microeconomics changes more generally in the 1990s. The notion of what is sometimes called economic imperialism, namely that economic methods should be used to analyze data from every area, this really starts to spread. And within the economics profession, you see a large number of often quite sophisticated or clever papers doing this, drawing upon data taken outside of what is traditionally considered economics. Of course, in fairness to economics, there's no reason to think that media companies or media outputs should be seen as something standing outside of economics. Very often they are commercial products subject to economic incentives. In any case, during the 1990s, part of this general trend is also what is sometimes called the Freakonomics movement, which is applying data to questions of do teachers cheat or how do sports work. And in general, just microeconomic empirical work becomes much more diverse, and people also look to the economics of media as a new and exciting area. The second trend around this time is simply the general growth of the cultural economics movement, which had picked up steam in the 1960s, but cultural economics as a field, which is studying music and the arts and literature, again, is going to be quite interested in looking at the economics of systems of distribution and production, and of course that will also mean an interest in the economics of media. If you're interested in reading up on the cultural economics movement, you can start with its journal called Journal of Cultural Economics. Starting in the mid to late 1990s, there's really a significant breakthrough where a fairly large number of economists, often at top schools, start to write empirical and also theoretical papers on the economics of the media. Some of those economists are listed here, and we'll be covering their work in subsequent videos. In general, these papers are considered quite sophisticated, and they're usually based on good data, and as a result, these papers are taken quite seriously. The field of economics of media, it doesn't work like macroeconomics. In macro, you can publish a paper, say, on what is the size of the multiplier, and a lot of people just won't believe your result, or opinion about the paper will be split on partisan lines. but economics of media really has been based in good data sources, and as a result, if something is published in a good journal in the field, it really is taken pretty seriously, and in general it's regarded as very much worth thinking about. And please do keep in mind, this is a list of economists, so there are, of course, numerous people at departments of communications or in journalism schools or other social science disciplines, sociology, international relations, who are working on closely related issues. The point is not to neglect them, but this course really is focusing on what economists have done to study and understand media. Overall, I would say that the field or subfield of economics of media is considered to have a fairly bright future. It is data intensive, which is popular, and there's also a sense that coming on down the pike, or maybe even already arrived, is the generation of lots of what is called big data, often from online sites or media sites, and that working with this big data can be used to understand a lot more about viewer behavior, listener behavior, or other areas. As long as the data continue to be generated, there will be plenty more papers in Economics of Media.